XFM presents Food for Thought.
With Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vicky Anston.
Radio has never been better.
As you're enjoying the service, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've tuned into the service for the first time. Maybe you've been tuning in for a few weeks. As we get into the Word, we're just going to open with a word of prayer. And we're just going to ask God to bless the rendering of His Word here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Your powerful Word, the Bible, that's available to us. We thank You for Your life-giving Holy Spirit that works inside of us to produce a harvest of righteousness. And we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and has given us the opportunity to have a brand new life. And so we pray this morning and we ask You, Lord, that you would speak to our lives and that You would minister to our hearts. Lord, we pray that You'd give us understanding in terms of Your Word today so that we may be able to declare it and speak it over our lives, that we may be able to do it and practice it and see it change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked last week, obviously, at the conclusion of the story of Joseph, how he came to a position whereby he was able to impact Pharaoh, the leader of the biggest nation in the world at the time, and save not only the Egyptian nation from a famine that was coming, but to save the whole world. And that included his family. That, in fact, included his brothers who had sold him off into slavery. And so that is the work of God in our life. And we've been speaking about the blood of identity, where the blood that flowed from Jesus' face when they ripped his beard off of his face and they beat him to a place where you couldn't even recognize that he was a human being. And Satan thought that he was forever destroying the image of God when he did this. But yet, the blood that flowed from Jesus' face and just one drop of that blood is enough to restore the image of God into our lives, to restore us in the image of God, to restore us from all the rejection that we've received, and to restore us in terms of a negative self-image that we've had of ourselves because of subtle hints and thoughts that the devil places in our mind, which he makes us think are our thoughts. In spite of all of this, the Lord has worked incredibly in our lives, and when we apply the blood of identity, then He changes our lives. And if you missed that, I'm going to encourage you to go and watch last week's sermon in terms of, it's entitled Overcoming the Crisis, an Image of a Crisis. And today we're moving on to the third place that Jesus shed His blood, which is the blood that He shed when He was whipped. And so today's sermon is entitled Being Redeemed from Sin. And so if you want to just share the word out, you know, you can just hashtag it, being redeemed from sin or redeemed from sin. And when we think about being redeemed from sin, we realize that God is calling us out of one life into a new life. He's calling us from the life of the world into a new life in the kingdom. And we read a story like that where in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. So God is calling Abram to leave the land of his people, to leave the household of his father and go to a promised land, a place that Abram had never been to before, a place that God was going to show him. And I want you to think about the amount of trust that Abram must have had in God for him to have actually acted on that decision. And what I want you to realize is that you probably sitting here today and you need to realize that there are some decisions that God is requiring of you, where you need to go out. You need to go out on a limb and you need to trust God and start thinking in line with the kingdom of God. And you cannot do that without the power of God. And you cannot do that without a revelation of who you are in Christ. And the first thing you need to realize in terms of who you are in Christ is that you were born, you were made in the image of God. In other words, if one looks at you, you are an image of God. Obviously, because of sin, we're all corrupted images. But you are an image of God. And so people can actually see a piece of God in you. And so sometimes we see that humanity can rise up and really do some awesome things that can really move the heart, you know, in a positive way. And that is the image of God being reflected, but we also have the image of sin. And that's why Jesus had to come and die on the cross for us, to remove the image of sin. It's like a cancer on us. And you know, like if you've got cancer, if they catch it in the early stages, what they'll do is they'll go into you and they'll cut that cancer away. And they cut the cancer away so that it cannot infest the rest of your body. And so Jesus came with His blood so that we'd have an option to be able to cut the cancer away. So that all that's left with is the image of God. And so because you were made in the image of God, you were born a leader. And you were given a gift of leadership. Every single human being has this gift. Every single human being has this ability. But sin separated you from your gift. Now, up until now, many people have been able to live without their gifts. Many Christians have been able to live ignoring their gifts. But the crisis that the world faces and the situation that we're in right now mandates that you find your gift. You have to find your gift. For your leadership gift to materialize, you have to discover the God-given gift that has been placed on the inside of you, and you have to find the place that God has designated for you to expose that gift in. There is a place that God has set forth for you to go and to move and to impact the world with a gift that is given you. And so you've got to discover what's inside of you, and then you've got to connect your gift to the right place, a place that God has designated you to operate in. Like Abraham, he had to leave the place of his father. He had to leave his nation. He had to go to another place where God was going to expose his gift. And so when you connect your gift to the right place, when you go to the right place where your gift needs to operate from, your gift comes to life. One of the things that I've seen many times over the years in the church is that people have come into the church, and so many times, gifts get exposed in those people that they themselves never even knew that they had before. The gift comes alive. So when your gift is connected to the right place, not only does your gift come alive, but your life comes alive. Even in a time like this, a time of viral crisis, a time of lockdown crisis, a time of economic crisis, a time where it looks like everything could fall apart. Even in that place, if you connect your gift with the right place, your life and your gift come alive. And so, if you look at this crisis and you look at your life up until now, what is the identity that you've based your life on? What have you identified yourself as? Maybe you've identified yourself by a profession, accountant, lawyer, whatever. Maybe you've identified yourself by your looks. Maybe you've identified yourself by your status in society. Maybe you've identified yourself by how many followers you've got on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or something like that. Maybe you've identified yourself by who you hang out with. And now you're sitting with a crisis, and whatever you've built your life on, whatever identity you've built your life on, is now coming apart. And if the crisis causes your identity to come apart, my advice to you is to let it. If your identity was based on your money, your status, your power, maybe your identity was even built on your failures. And now the crisis is calling all of us to come apart. Let it. When you let it go, what you realize is that the identity that you may have built your life on up until now has been a clay statue. And what the crisis has done is similar to what an earthquake would do to that clay statue. You know, a serious earthquake. Maybe an earthquake at 7 or 8 on the Richter scale. What an earthquake will do to a clay statue is it can cause it to crack. It can cause it to break. It can cause it to even fall over. And when the statue falls over, you think, oh no. Maybe your clay statue has been your God. And you're thinking, oh no, look at all these pieces. And now you start picking up all the pieces and you're trying to glue it back together. But you know, as you glue it back together, it looks worse and worse and worse. And then on top of that, the more you're trying to glue it back together, the more it breaks even further. And more pieces of this clay statue are coming off you until one day you get the place where, wow, you see this incredible, beautiful gold statue on the inside of the clay statue. Way better, way stronger. The earthquake hasn't affected the gold statue at all. But the gold statue, which is the real gift, which is the real treasure inside of you, which is worth far more than the clay statue, has been hidden up until now. It's been hidden in a wrong identity. It's been hidden in a lost identity. And I want you to understand that that identity that you've built your life on is clay, and it's breakable by the earthquake because it's operating under the curses that are in the world, and the world is full of curses. I mean, for anyone to say that the world's not full of curses, I'm just going to tell you, look around, look at COVID-19. Look at COVID-19. Look at many evil things that even at this time people are doing. The world is full of curses, and it's been since the time that Satan entered the world. But yeah, you have to realize is that Jesus redeemed you from a world of curses. He's redeemed you from that world. And That is the incredible promise of the gospel. That is why the gospel is such good news. And we read about the promise that was given through the prophet Isaiah prior to Jesus coming of what Jesus would do. And it says in Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5, surely our griefs he himself bore. Every grief, maybe you've lost people in this time. Maybe you've lost businesses. Maybe you've lost finances. Maybe you've lost your house. Whatever you've lost, surely he bore our griefs. He himself, he bore our griefs. And our sorrows he carried. Maybe during this time, you've had to bury a loved one. And there's been great sorrow. He carried your sorrow. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken. We thought the guy that was dying for us was the one that was coming short. We thought that he was the guy to be pitied. That he was smitten by God. In other words, that God had rejected him. And that he was afflicted. You know, afflicted is like someone who gets COVID-19. They're sick. We thought that he was getting his just deserve. And then it says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. So in other words, the nails went through his hands and his feet for our transgressions, for where we transgressed the law of God. He was crushed for our iniquities. The bad things that we have done, he was crushed for. And the chastising for our well-being fell upon him. The chastising for our well-being, and our well-being means our peace with God. Other translations talk about our peace with God. They fell on Jesus. And then it says, and by his scourging we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. By the stripes that were caused on his back from the whipping, we are healed. And when Jesus was being whipped by the Roman soldiers using the Roman whips, blood was flowing from his back. And there's nothing that happened in the life of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus that did not have a purpose to it. And the blood flowed from his wounded body to give us the fullness of redemption. And I want to start talking today, this week, about the fullness of redemption. And you know, today you can apply this blood in your life. You can apply this blood where there's physical, mental, or emotional illness or pain. You can apply this blood where there's COVID-19. You can apply this blood when a certain sin dominates your will. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's immoral conduct, maybe it's addictions. You can apply this blood when you have a rebellious heart, and maybe there's a rebellious heart lining our family line. You can apply this blood when there's financial bondage. You can apply the blood that was shed from Jesus back when he was whipped, when there's financial bondage in your life. And the benefits of this blood are that we get complete redemption. We get healing from all sicknesses and all pain. That includes COVID-19. We get freedom from slavery to sin and to rebellion. We are slaves to sin and rebellion. We get freedom from that slavery. We get financial freedom. And I'm telling you today, more than ever, you need to realize, you want financial freedom, you need to turn to God. The place where you're going to get financial freedom is from God. You're not going to get it anywhere else. But you can get it from God. The bad news is, the world system is busy imploding. The good news is the blood of Jesus is still there, and financial freedom is available to you through the blood of Jesus, through the breaking of the curse that on the world. Now, there's no more powerful weapon in the world than the blood of Jesus. And that's why we read in Revelation 12, verse 10 to 11, a verse some of you have heard me read before. It says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. You know who the accuser of our brothers and sisters is? It's the accuser of the Christians. It is Satan. He's been thrown down to earth. He no longer has access to the Father. And it says, who is this guy? The one who accuses them before our God day and night. Satan accuses you day and night. Forget about people who accuse you. The chief accuser is Satan, and he accuses you to yourself in your own mind with those subtle thoughts. You think they're your thoughts, but they're his thoughts. And then in verse 11, the incredible statement, it says, and they. And who is the they that this is talking about? The saints of God. Who are the saints of God? It's every single person that has given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer in Jesus, every Christian, the saints in the church defeated him. God has placed the authority and the responsibility to defeat the devil at the church. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Their testimony about what? Their testimony about what the blood of Jesus has done for them. The church defeats the devil, not the angels, not God. Jesus has done everything he's going to do. He's now said, right, I'm now giving you the responsibility, church. I want you to be a part of this victory that I won on the cross and Calvary. And so you, by your faith in the blood of Jesus, and by your testimony in the blood of Jesus, and by what Jesus did on the cross for us, we overcome him. And what is the price that we have to pay in order to overcome him? And they did not love their lives so much as that they were afraid to die. In other words, we don't love our lives. We love Jesus. We see our lives and our sinful nature crucified on the cross, and we're not afraid to die for Jesus. Jesus is more important to us than our very lives. And so what you need to look at in terms of Jesus, why is he worth putting your faith in? Because he was God's only son, and he was so concerned about us sinners that he agreed to bear our sickness on his body. He agreed to take our sickness on his body so that he could give us the medicine. The incredible thing about Jesus is that he is our divine cure. And this blood that we're talking about is the blood of redemption. It's the blood, it's the place where Jesus shed his blood to redeem us. And what you need to understand is that the price for your redemption is incredibly high. In Psalm 49 verse 7 and 8, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly and he should cease trying forever. We spoke about this for those of you who tuned in over Easter. No one can pay the price for our souls. No one can pay that price. The redemption of our souls is too costly. And you mustn't try and redeem someone else's soul. It's impossible for any human being to redeem the soul of any other human being. And further in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, see, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Listen to me. Forgiveness can only come in bloody shed, because the price of sin is death. In order for sin to be removed, in order for sin to be avenged, blood has to be shed. Now, what does the word redemption mean? And I want to just give you three Greek terms that describe what the word redemption actually means. And the first word is agorazo, which means to purchase in the market. In other words, you're in the market there. You're there available for Satan to purchase, for Satan to accuse, and all of that kind of stuff. And agorazo means Jesus comes and he purchases you in the market. In other words, this word encompasses all the trade that used to take place in a slave market. You were a slave, slave to sin, slave to sickness, slave to whatever. And Jesus came and purchased you out. And the price he paid for your redemption, the blood, his blood. The second word is exagerazo, which is to buy out of the market. And this word is used to describe what happened to a slave who was bought and removed from the market. So the agorazo is the trade that happens there, but specifically exagerazo is when a slave was bought and removed from the market. And when you accept Jesus, he buys you out of the marketplace. He buys you out of the marketplace. He removes you from the power of the enemy. The enemy no longer has any right to come to you, because Jesus has bought you with his own blood. The devil cannot come to you anymore. And then what does Jesus do? The third word that defines redemption is lutra, which means to loose. And what that talks about is to set free by paying a price. In other words, Jesus paid a price with his blood. He took you out of the market, out of the slave market, and then by paying that price, he now sets you free. He says, yeah, have your freedom. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to fear. Is fear shrouding over you? Jesus has set you free from fear. But you got to access that freedom by faith. And so on the redemption that Jesus brought us, he brings us a redemption that is complete for every single area of our lives. There's not an area of our lives where he doesn't set us free in. And so therefore today, as you're sitting there, you have no reason to accept any kind of slavery. If you're accepting any kind of slavery in your life today, doing it by choice, you're choosing to be a slave. It's not something that's beyond your control. Jesus has given you the power over the slavery. And so this redemption that we're talking about, Jay, includes everything. It includes every area of our lives. And Jesus has given us weapons with which to fight the spiritual battle so that we can be loose from the slavery. Now, when we're fighting this battle, it says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Everything in the spiritual battle is based on arguments. They are legal arguments. And we use God's weapons. And what is chief among the weapons of God is the blood of Jesus. And what you need to understand about what Jesus did for us on the cross is that when we say that what Jesus did on the cross was perfect and complete, we have to understand that what that means is that there are no areas in our lives which are not covered by His blood. The sad thing is that some people think that looking at the blood that Jesus shed, it only includes the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life. And the reason why people believe that is because the enemy brings wrong thoughts into our minds to make us feel that we do not have the right to enjoy the fullness of His blessing. Some people think as long as I'm saved, it doesn't matter if I'm sick. Or if my sins have been forgiven, then my finances aren't important. I want to tell you, Active Church today, this is not true. I want to tell you that God longs for people to be able to be blessed in every single area of their lives. I want you to grab a hold of this. I want you to understand this more than anything else. He wants to see people blessed in every area of their lives, but the enemy comes and sows thoughts in the minds of men to separate them from the fullness of this redemption. I want you to think about what some of those thoughts are. Some of those thoughts that you might be thinking even as a Christian. It's fine for you to serve God, but your family will never be saved. Who says your family will never be saved? Why are you accepting that your family will never be saved? You don't have to accept that. You can engage in the spiritual realm. You can fight that. Maybe another thought can be, you know, you can serve God, but your finances are something that are completely separate. Don't think that your faith will affect your finances. Why not? Yeah, but look at how bad things are in the economy. The world is crashing. So what? So what? Jesus paid the price in full for you. And so don't accept these thoughts. And I want to encourage you here today to determine to live in the fullness of the redemption that Jesus has given you. Live in complete and utter freedom because of the redemption. Make sure that what is first and foremost on your mind is the fact that you are redeemed. You are redeemed for yourself. You are redeemed from the power of sin. You are redeemed in your family. You are redeemed in your finances. Everything is included. There's nothing that is excluded from the redemption that Jesus bought for you on the cross. You are redeemed. I want you to say right there where you're sitting right now, wherever you're sitting, listening to the service, say, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Now, next week, we're continuing with this teaching. We're continuing with this teaching on the redemption of the blood of redemption. The redemption that Jesus has won for us on the cross. But I really want to encourage you this week, man, to apply this. But I also want you to realize that the blood of Jesus and all of this redemption that I'm talking about means absolutely nothing for you if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.